things that are going on in athletics, that's for sure. And kind of, you know, keying off of what Amanda said, is we're part of a family. We're part of a great body of Christ, and God is energizing things, and things are happening so that we're all getting ministered to and taken care of, and we're able to reach out to, you know, the world in which we live, and there's a lot of needs out there, right? But man, we got the greatest team, and there's a lot of teamwork that's really going on. And today, what I wanted to share basically was, you have what it takes to be God's best. Maybe some of you have heard about Vince Lombardi. Ever heard that name before? Yeah, he's a great football coach, right? Some of you, it was before your time, so just take my word for it, all right? But for many years, he was the outstanding football coach of what team? Green Bay Packers. Okay, we know that. And he defined in an address what it takes to be number one in football, this statement, you've got to pay the price. You see, winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit, but unfortunately, so is the opposite. And the opposite of winning is being defeated, right? Is not seeing that victory in our lives, let's say, in this situation. He goes on to say, there's no room for second place. There's only one place in my game, and that is first place. There is a second place bowl game, but it is a game for losers played by losers. It is and always has been an American zeal to be first in anything we do and to win and to win and to win. Every time a football player goes out to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Some guys play with their heads. That's okay. You've got to be smart to be number one in any business. But more importantly, you've got to play with your heart. With every fiber of your body, if you're lucky enough to find a guy with a lot of head and a lot of heart, he's never going to come off the field second. Running a football team is no different than from running any other kind of organization. An army, a political party, a business. The principles are the same. The object is to win. But football is a pastime, right? It's a sport. But if such dedication and commitment for success are required in a pastime sport, what about the requirements for a far greater game? The game of life. That's the one that we're playing, and we're part of the greatest team that God has ever assembled on planet Earth. It's called the one body of Christ. You're a member. You got membership when you confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10. Amen? Who said that? All right. Yeah, I like that. See, you got it. Because, see, in this particular team, God's the owner and the general manager. Jesus Christ is the coach, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to play. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, many of you know that. I thought, you know what, it'd be appropriate to share on some of these things about, playing on a team. Like she was saying, we've got a great family, see? We've got to maybe kind of learn to get outside of ourselves a little bit and be not so afraid that maybe somebody will actually find out that we've got some issues. We've got some weakness. We've got some problems. You know what? We're all in the same contest. There's an adversary. And we need each other. You know, I need Claudia. I need Jan. I need Stephen. I need Jeannie, the Mikases, all of you, because you make me more of who I am. You succeed, I succeed. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, probably heard this before, says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus Christ gives it to the 12, says, hey, you receive Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power, and you're going to be witnesses. You see, your life is going to leave a legacy and a testimony of what I've done on your behalf. And look what happened at the very end of Acts chapter 2. Verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls." Wow. Quite a little meeting they had there. Of course, this was the original outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. Many people were gathered there, right? Pentecost. They heard them speak with tongues. Verse 42 goes on to say, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." They were gathered together not only spiritually were they unified, but physically they were together. You know, and so we many times, you know, in the family unit of the body of Christ here, we are not only obligated to be together with each other on Sunday mornings and Wednesday afternoons or wherever it is, but we actually like being with each other all the time. Because many of you we see all the time during the week, whatever. You guys are closer, we're closer than family. We're closer than blood relatives. See? It's amazing. Because we're the spiritual family, right? Verse 43, and says, "Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Of course, that died with them, so we don't have to worry about that. And verse 44 said, "And all that believed were common, were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church." Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Man, does that sound like something you wouldn't want to be a part of? You're together with people that you love. You're hanging out. You're eating. You're praising God. God is multiplying, adding to the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I think at some point in time, God must have revealed to these people that there was something very unique that was happening. Something very unique that was going on. That they became like-souled, like-minded, like-hearted. That their lives became so intertwined spiritually that there was no way to pull them apart. Acts chapter 4. We know that this continued on because in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul." One heart, one soul. "Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great" what? "Grace." Grace. God's power given freely to enable those people to accomplish that which God wanted to get accomplished. God's power given freely in these situations for them to get accomplished what God wanted to get done. Verse 34, "And neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. And they brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Quite a culture, huh? And you know what? The book of Acts sets a great example of what occurred in the early days and continuing on through the lifetime of the Apostle Paul. But is the book of Acts the end of the story? No. I think we've begun to really realize that we're living out more testimony, more things about the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church today. See. We just had a little believers' meeting where people did supernatural things. They spoke in tongues. They interpreted tongues. They gave words of prophecy. Those are three manifestations of nine. God's the owner of this team. And you know what owners and GMs normally... The general manager normally likes to have full control of the team. I mean, it just makes his job so much easier. Have you ever seen the Dallas Cowboys? They have this manager, or the owner. I mean, if it was up to him, he'd be calling every play for every series of downs that the Dallas Cowboys play. See, and there are others too. It doesn't help, really, in the overall success of the team, although they're doing pretty good right at the moment. But God is the owner and the general manager. Jesus Christ is the coach. He's giving direction as the head of the body to the functioning of the body of Christ, right? We are all one member of the body of Christ. We're all different, but collectively, together, we're stronger as a whole than the sum of the individual parts. This is a fascinating concept. See? Because when he's doing what he needs to do, she's doing what she needs to do, individually, taking responsibility for their lives, they're walking with God, strengthening themselves, building themselves, you know what? Together, collectively, we're greater as a whole than the sum of all the individual parts. It's a fascinating, fascinating concept. You see this beginning to really occur in the book of Acts. You see that happening with us in the here and now. It happened with the Thessalonian church, right? Because it said that the word of God sounded out. See, they got a reputation, you know, that there was something going on there. And people were just drawn, and they just absorbed, and they just loved what was going on there. So you might ask, what does it take now to be God's best? What does it take? Well, first of all, you've got what it takes to be God's best. You've got a heart for God. And you got this thing right up here. This is called your head. You've got a brain. You've got a heart with Christ within you, right? And you got your head. And secondly, believing the accuracy and the integrity of God's word is not a once-in-a-while action. It's a second-by-second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, year by year action. You believe all the time in who you are and what you are. It goes on and on and on. You see, believing and only believing means the more than abundant life. And unfortunately, unbelief works also, but that is for those who will and struggle with seeing victory in their lives. So there's no place and nothing like a second-rate partial believer. There's only one place in the ministry of the Word of Life, and that is to be victorious, to win, and to be more than a conqueror. You, unfortunately, the most part, Christianity, so-called, has kind of been looked at as a losing team. You know? Coached by losers. A losing team coached by losers. Almost everybody calls himself some kind of Christian. If it's to his election advantage, business advantage, social advantage, etc., 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 advantage. And that's why we talk about believers rather than Christians. Because the word Christian has become so muddied and contaminated that it is appropriately called building churchianity for losers. True Christianity means Christ in you. The household of believers, a team, not a building. It's not this. But the Word moving over individual people's lives who are then taking that Word of God all over the world. Because you know what? Wherever they go, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are going with them. You're not leaving it here. You know? I mean, one of the greatest things Ken said in that weekend was, you know, the guy in the bar. Because he was witnessing in the bar, and they go, oh, you know, I don't talk about Jesus Christ here. I mean, oh, you know. Well, where is he? Outside? We left Jesus Christ outside while we came in the bar. So we have separate lives. See? Those things that we do when we're really spiritual, and then, you know, those things, well, you know, that's really life there. Hey, it's all or nothing, right? It's all or nothing. Well, guess what? Talking stage is over. Action is imminent. You have to get involved with all we are or ever hope to be. You have to get involved with everything that you are, body, soul, and spirit. Everything that you are. See? You not only must have the heart and head to be God's best, you have the heart and head to be God's best. And, you know, if we're going to sell out to anything, my recommendation is that we sell out to God and His Word. You know? You can sell out to a lot of things. You can sell out to money. You can sell out to prestige, status, whatever. You know, you name it. But a believer's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment of himself to all he holds and knows is true from God's Word, is that moment when he's given everything he has for God. He's given everything in him, every fiber of his being, he has poured out for God Almighty. Well, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Word? Oh, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's that moment when he has given it all. He's worked out. We've worked out our hearts and our heads in behalf of the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word. And when that day comes to a close, when you lie down to sleep, totally expended, totally exhausted, you're thankful because you got the victory. You have what it takes to be God's best. And that's what it takes to be number one. You've got what it takes. The price has been paid completely and wonderfully in full on your behalf. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to look in the Aramaic, Majera Aramaic of that particular verse, because that's quite a mouthful in the King James. 4:16 of Ephesians. And from him the whole body is fit together and is knit together in all the joints according to the gift that is given by measure to each member for the growth of the body that its building up would be accomplished in love. Hey, you know what? If you got a torn ACL, you're hurting. You're probably hobbling around. If you may need surgery. If you ever seen anybody who's like torn their Achilles heel, their Achilles tendon or a hamstring or had some sort of really serious injury, that is painful. The body of Christ is edified and strengthened by you taking ownership of who you really are as a son or a daughter of God and then walking out. Yeah, maybe you don't know everything there is to know, but you begin. You get one foot out of the boat, and then you get another one out there, and you start to realize, oh, hey, I can do this. And finally, in closing, the Amplified Version, Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together This is King James. By that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Amplified says, for because of him the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its function, it grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. You see, the cool thing about this whole concept that we're talking about is that when the body of Christ is really functioning the way that God designed it to be, Jesus Christ at the head, giving direction to the body of Christ, people walking in power, John's praying for grace, Grace is praying for her, she, you know, it's just all going on. In Ephesians, it talks about what happens. To God be the glory. God Almighty gets the glory when the one body of Christ, each person in it, taking ownership of who they are and what's really been done for them on their behalf, when that thing finally clicks in, God Almighty gets the glory because He is the one who has built this church, really, by way of Jesus Christ, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember? Talks about it. Used to be in the temple, used to be in the tabernacle. That's where God resided. Where does He reside today? In the body of believers, of which you and I are members in particular. Fascinating, huh? You have what it takes to be God's best. Don't ever forget that. You have what it takes. You take one step at a time. You do your part. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. See? You do your part. You develop your lifestyle and your walk with God, see? And there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to serve and plenty of opportunities for you to give, see? You have what it takes to be God's best. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Word of God that so inspires us, so motivates us, Father, and I think words sometimes slip from me and being able to really communicate the heart of what this thing truly is spiritually, and thankful that it's not in our strength that we ascertain these spiritual truths, but Father, that you just work in our hearts so magnificently to help us to acquire, if necessary, a deeper perspective of the price that Jesus Christ paid, the value that each and every one of us have, the ownership of Holy Spirit that we have within our lives, Father, in our determination and our attitude and our willingness to really commit ourselves, Father, to really get proficient in our ability to walk with you and to hear from you and to go to you and to put away our pride and to cast off the things that would endeavor to hold us back, Father, the confusion, the distractions, and all this other stuff that's going on that is vying for our time and our energy. Lord, help us to just be the men and women and children of God that your Word says we are and we can be, and that our lives can be filled with great testimonies, Lord, of your love, and that we too are leaving a great witness, a great testimony behind us as we walk forth courageously, boldly, bravely upon the great promises of your Word. So thank you, God, for helping us to be everything that your Word says we are, and help us in our believing, Father, to remain humble, have great humility of heart and meekness to go to you, and to be not forgetful hearers of your Word, Father, but doers of the Word. And I pray in the wonderful, powerful, the victorious name of our resurrected Christ. Amen. All right. God bless you.